Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest Council of Deans of Health podcast or CODcast. This is a special edition as part of the Council's Research Month during February 2022. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined today by Professor Jane Code and Professor Michelle Briggs to talk about Karen. Welcome both. Starting with Jane, would you like to just introduce yourself to everyone?
Thank you, Robin. So I'm Professor Jane Code. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our podcast. I'm a professor in children and family nursing by my background, and I run a research group for that in Nottingham University. But I'm also in senior positions as Director of Clinical Academics in Nottingham University Hospital and University Hospital Coventry in Warwickshire. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you. And Michelle.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for the opportunity to be part of this podcast. I'm a clinical professor of nursing and have a number of roles. Firstly, I work within the Division of Nursing, Midwifery and Social Work at the University of Manchester, where I lead a research group at SUPAC, which is Supportive, Palliative and Pain Care. I also, 50% of my time, I'm an assistant chief nurse in Manchester NHS Foundation Trust, where I'm responsible for leading their research strategy for nurses, midwives and allied health professionals. And I have the joy of being the lead for capacity building in one of the NIHR Applied Research Collaborations, or ARC, ARC-GM.
Thank you both. And just to say that you're both here today talking about Karen as the chair and deputy chair of Karen, which is great. And Karen is a network that the Council of Deans of Health hosts. It stands for Healthcare Professionals, Clinical Academic Roles and Career Pathways Implementation Network. So quite a mouthful for everyone to remember. So it's fondly known as Karen. And to talk a bit more about Karen and what it means and what its purpose is and its membership, I'll go over to Jane to explain a bit more.
Thanks, Robin. So as Robin has just said, I am the chair currently of Karen, and it's been very exciting to be the chair and see it develop. And what it really does is it brings people together. It brings nurses, midwives, allied health professionals and clinical health scientists together to share innovative and best practice, promoting and engaging lots of interesting information about clinical academic roles, clinical academic research, and most importantly, I think, the career pathways of those clinical academics. We share all those things, and we meet regularly, 3 times a year. And most of those in the last year obviously have been online, but we're planning this year for one in person, which will be great to see everyone again. And we share our innovations and we share lots of policy together. And it's just really a really essential forum for people to share all those issues around clinical academic research and careers. Now, the Karen has really grown. When we look even in December 2020, there were 45 organisations that signed up to be part of Karen, and within that there were individuals. But now as we sit here, this is January 2022 as we're recording this, we've actually got 61 organisations UK-wide, and we're really proud of that UK-wide. We've been really working very hard to bring Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland into the discussions and into our Karen network. And of those 61 organisations, there are also 89 individuals, because we've made our terms of reference updated, and you can get those from Robin, and I'm sure there'll be some information for that. And you can come in as an individual member and or an organisational member. And that's quite a big step change for us. The other thing that was a big step change in the last year, we've broadened the scope of what we mean by organisations. So we now include universities, hospitals, as well as the acute hospital trust, primary healthcare, all of those, because it's about where clinical academic researchers work for us. That's absolutely crucial to bring people together. What we've also done in our growth, because we are so large now, we've decided to make our work into four clear packages. So we have now got four work packages, and I'm going to hand to Michelle to just introduce those work packages to you before we do a bit of a granular detail on them. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Jane. Yes, so as Jane says, we have organised our work into four subgroups. And when we meet, you'll be randomly allocated to hear about the work of those groups, because when we meet, it's about sharing learning and sharing the work and the progress we've made. But the work of those groups carries on in between the meetings. And there, as Jane says, there are four groups. The first group is a metrics group, and the purpose of the metrics and impact group subgroup is to develop, collate, oversee and disseminate the results of an annual survey. So Karen member organisations, we've developed a survey that the member organisations complete each year. And the benefit of that is to be able to capture and benchmark against performance individually in our organisations from previous years, but also to compare and contrast and learn from other organisations and develop a core set of survey questions about a clinical academic activity. Second group is a group that where we're focused on influencing twofold: exchange of information across Karen about how we make decisions, how we build rapport, how we communicate the goals of the organisation, but also how we talk about our outputs and impacts and communicate that at an individual, regional and international level so that we can increase the visibility of Karen, be able to provide webinars and be useful and promote the roles and clinical academic careers of our members and those who aspire to be clinical academics in nursing, midwifery, AHP and health, clinical health sciences. The third group is a career frameworks group, and you can see that there are overlaps and the groups lead in to, but we're in this group we're particularly focused in trying to understand the career frameworks and to capture and share information both again within and across Karen about education and training programs to develop an understanding of knowledge and skills in leadership and developing the range of clinical academic careers through internship, pre-doctoral, doctoral, postdoctoral careers and professorial careers. And then the final group is our influencing policy group, which seeks to capture and share the activity in terms of the positive changes we're making and the effects that this group is having in terms of driving national policies and leveraging influence to focus on national policy that benefits clinical academics and to be able to understand the importance of key things that are related to the clinical academic workforce in nursing, midwifery, allied health professions and clinical science. All of the members in Karen are strongly encouraged to be at least a member of one subgroup. There's no limit. You can be a member of all four if you're incredibly keen and want to work towards the benefit of all those four groups. And we're beginning to see the fruits of our labour. And I'm going to hand over to Jane to talk about some of the updates in those groups.
Thanks, Michelle. I'm going to take them in a slightly different order, only because we want to talk about the annual survey last, and that leads into our sort of final comments. So I'm going to take firstly the Career Frameworks group, and that is now got a really clear lead in Dr. Fiona Maxton. And obviously, we can't do the world of careers for clinical academic research, but what we've chosen to do in the next year is really try to unpick some of those issues related to expected roles for nurses, midwives, allied health professionals, and clinical health scientists in terms of, if you are a clinical academic, you know, what is the role that you're expected to do at that grade in that organisation you work in. And what we've asked for, and you know, this is a call to action for if you're listening to this, you know, please send them to us. We've asked for job descriptions and person specifications from any organizations that are part of the Karen membership. And that started to produce really interesting information about how you know, trusts and organizations are writing aspects of these roles. Sometimes you see research written sort of at the end of the job description, even though it's a clinical academic research post. And sometimes we're seeing them at the front door coming in, clinical academic researcher required. Obviously these have to fit because it's NMAPs and clinical health scientists, they fit to Agenda for Change, but it's really interesting how they're being interpreted at the grassroots level. And once we've done this review by the end of this year, so 2022, that is our mission. This will produce some really interesting information about what do clinical academic researchers do across the UK in terms of nurses, midwives, allied health professionals, and clinical health scientists. At the moment, actually, we don't have that information. So the next group I just want to share with you is the Influencing Policy Group, and that is led by Professor Bridie Kent. And Bridie, Michelle and I worked very hard with Robin, making networks across the United Kingdom and being part of as many groups as we can to lobby around Karen. So if there's anything you're listening to today and you think, well, I would like them to discuss this, you know, at the Royal College of Nursing or the Royal College of wherever, you know, send it to Robin and we can take it forward. And we've actually become members of as many groups as we can to do that. And we're taking as many issues as we can to Karen, and we are getting noticed, we're getting on the agenda, and we are speaking up. And we are being consulted on major policy documents, which we're very proud of as a network. The next group is the Outputs and Engagement. That is led by Dr. Polly Livermore. And this has really just got started, but these are the things that, as Michelle said, you know, we want to talk about engagement and getting out there, social media, sharing publications. You know, we would like a publications database. So that is some of the work we're going to be doing in the next year, pulling that together. Again, at the moment, we sort of know it, but it's all in sort of pockets. So it'd be really, really good to get that information pulled together. And then finally, and I said I would leave it to last, that's the Metrics and Impact Group. And that is led by Professor Mary Wells. And Mary has undertaken an annual survey for a couple of years, but this year we really got that annual survey a bit sharper, and we're going to improve it even more this year. And we also were able to send that out to a number of organisations to ask them, you know, what their sort of current state of play was in terms of nurses, midwives, allied health professionals, clinical health scientists, clinical academic careers and research. And going forward, we will have impact case studies, but we only got a few impact case studies to date. We kind of know them because we all know each other within the network, but we're going to improve that in terms of depth. So in thinking of that survey, just to sort of give you a bit of a potted history, we've actually done three surveys, which was 2017, 2019 and 2020-21. But it's Mary that's really, really spearheaded that and done a fantastic job to bring that together. This year's survey, we put into three pockets, three sections, if you like: research environment, clinical academic workforce, and research outputs and impact. And we started to gather information from, you know, to build on the previous years. But as I've already said, this survey was improved in its questions. Now, we had 22 responses to the survey, 18 of which came from England, 2 from Scotland, 1 from Wales and 1 from Northern Ireland. So moving forward, we need to improve that in terms of the devolved countries. And we're very aware of that. Largely, they came from acute hospital specialist trusts in terms of responses. So 17 of that 22 were the acute trusts. And that may be that's where the clinical academic research work is going on or not. It may be just that they responded. We want to delve into more about that this year, but we also want to learn around, you know, what's happening in the community, primary care, mental health trust, social care, all these other areas. What kind of support do you get if you work in those areas? So some of the things we found out was really important is it's absolutely crucial to have a good leader, to have that, you know, those senior nurses or midwives, allied health professionals, clinical health scientists in key positions, leading people forward, but not just leading, but offering support and having some kind of direction. 14 of the 22 organizations had a research strategy, but you could argue that the others didn't. So it's a really interesting one in terms of research strategy. We did do some mapping of that strategy to actual success, and it was there. But, 22 isn't a large number, so we need to do some more work. One of the things in the successful trusts we did report and did find is there was a lot of research training provided. That's not rocket science. I'm sure you're listening to this thinking, well, that makes sense. But some of the things that trusts did and individuals organized were things like drop-in sessions, research forums, writing workshops, offering short courses, all of those things. Some of the successful trusts where clinical academic researchers were embedded and working and had careers, they were clearly there mapped to that training. And that's probably given us a taster for where we need to go with this survey. As I said, we're going to do some more deep dives this year in terms of questions, but also some really clear impact case studies, the clear impact people that are making a difference out there and putting them into the website of the Council of Deans and the Karen website area. I'm going to hand to Michelle now just to summarise the greatest achievements in the last year. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. It's really difficult. It's great to listen to what Jane has been saying and trying to distill that into some key achievements in 2021. One of the first things I'd like to say is the new leadership, the leadership of Jane. I'm being very heartened that we've got new structures, we've got a clear strategy, the leadership in the subgroups. So increasing the opportunities for leadership increases our ability to have voice and visibility, because that is a challenge for us as clinical academics. Generally in HEIs, the surveys have shown that about 3% of people who are employed as academics within our professions have clinical roles as well as academic roles. And so we're a small proportion of a wider academic workforce. So increasing our voice and visibility has been paramount. So that's one achievement. The second achievement is that whilst that's a small percentage, we know and we can see within the survey metric group that nurses, midwives, allied health professionals, pharmacists, psychologists, clinical health scientists are individually, and we are collectively, growing in numbers and roles as people begin to see the benefits for patients and the benefits for organisations around healthcare and health outcomes of having clinicians who are academically embedded into teams at university, and also the benefits of having academics who are clinically embedded in work services within the our health and social care structures. The key benefits, and the numbers are growing because of that. And then another output is, as a result of that, the academic outputs, the publications, the conferences, the numbers of those are increasing. So I would say there are three key achievements, but we're not resting on our laurels, because whilst we've achieved good things in 2020-2021, we still face some challenges going forward, which we're willing to take on. And I'm going to hand back to Jane to list and maybe think through some of those challenges.
Thanks, Michelle. I think it's fair to say we have made great strides as a network. And we want to hear from you. If you're listening today and you think, well, I'm going to get in touch with them, please do. Going forward, we have to really think about how COVID-19 has impacted on clinical academics. That's in terms of their careers and their research projects and their research training. We haven't really looked at it. We're going to try and look at it in our survey. We're very aware of it. It is a challenge. It's an ongoing challenge. Because by the very nature, clinical academic researchers and they work in clinical settings, you know, Michelle said that in her introduction about her. I work as a community children's nurse. We are embedded in those organisations we work in, and redeployment has had its impact. I think we're also very aware of the infrastructures within the trust. That has come out in the survey, where some organisations have superb support and are you know, really very supportive of these clinical academics in post and their careers. But other trusts and organisations, we are learning and we are aware of, have less support. And so we're trying to find ways and think of creative ways of how we can support those individuals, but also those organisations as a network. I think for us, one of the concerns is the long-term investment in clinical academic nurses, midwives, allied health professionals and clinical health scientists. It goes without saying we're the biggest group, and the funding available, partly to do with COVID, partly to do with where we are in the world, but that pot is smaller. And so we do have to be creative about where we get that training for master's degrees or PhDs, but also for those projects that we might want to do. And being in a network like Karen actually helps us to share some of those things and share some ideas. We're always sharing things like the grants and, you know, calls for fellowships. And it's really important to have that. Because at the end of the day, what we want to do is influence the United Kingdom as much as we can in terms of clinical academic researchers and research, because this is about benefiting patients and all stakeholders. I think that's it from Michelle and I. Is there anything else I have missed, Michelle?
No, I think that's a good list to move forward into 2022 and 2023. And I look forward to doing another podcast, maybe in a year or so's time, to talk about the achievements we've made in the next year or so.
I do too.
Absolutely. And thank you both so much for joining today and talking everyone through Karen, its achievements, the progress it's made in the last year. I'm sure everyone's really enjoyed hearing all about it, and really hope that hope it continues to grow and continues to progress. So thank you. That's it for today, and hope everyone is enjoying Research Month, and see you all soon.
Thank you.